putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
In Venezuela, many are calling the recent elections fraud.
The country's electoral authority, or CNE, said Maduro had won a third six-year term with 51% of the vote. The election authority said González won 44%. But opposition leader Maria Corina Machado said González had secured 70% of the vote and that multiple independent exit polls and quick counts decisively showed his victory.
Multiple research firms had exit polls showing González getting over 60% of the vote.
As for poll data, González has a staggering support of almost 60% of the voters, while Maduro has just under 13% voters in his favor.
The current leadership is not popular, and the people took to the streets. People getting shot by government troops. There are videos that show the police taking off uniforms and standing with the people. The National Guard standing with the people. In America, where the desensitized see everything on the media as fake, there are theories that the uprising in Venezuela is staged. But no matter, without a fair election, America is looking at a very similar outcome this November. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
All right, folks, that's the latest from Greg Reese. Find and share that video at band.video on InfoWars.com. We're going to move on to more international news here momentarily. We're going to talk about what's going on in Israel and the surrounding areas as they assassinate Hamas leaders and Hezbollah leaders and pray that it doesn't go any further than that. Again, we did a long live stream about this yesterday on my Twitter. We did a Twitter space, myself and Lebanon John. And believe it or not, it actually seems like it's Joe Biden behind this conflict. It seems like it's the Americans that are forcing Israel and Lebanon to go toe-to-toe. Everybody buys the Life Select storable food, which has a 25-year shelf life, just in case of an emergency. Frankly, it's cheaper to eat the Life Select storable food than it is to get groceries in Biden's economy. Then they don't buy the Alexa Pure water filter in conjunction with the storable food. My thinking is, like, how are you going to prepare the food if you don't have clean water? They go hand in hand. You got to get both. What do you think, Jacob?
You look at every post-apocalyptic movie in the library, the most powerful person has water. I'm a well driller. So we have actually a pretty sound filtration system. But sure, I recommend to people that can't have the complex system like I have to get the Alexa Pure.
Thank you so much for your call. Super important call, Jacob. I appreciate it. I encourage everyone listening now to go to InfoWarsStore.com. Get the Life Select storable food. Get the Alexa Pure water filter as well, because you want to make sure that you have the ability to prepare that food with clean, pure water. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Be the reason that we're still on the air.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. Let's talk about what's going on in Israel. It's kind of hard to wrap your mind around. Kind of hard to understand how this truly is the case. We'll start with the... start with what's going on domestically in Israel. Israel has been sort of teetering on the edge of civil conflict ever since October 7th. You've got Israeli protesters who hate Netanyahu's government protesting pretty regularly since the conflict began. You have law changes about certain exemptions to military service in the Orthodox Hasidic community, which caused massive backlash there. But the latest conflagration, the latest controversy, I guess the words bizarre and horrific are equally applicable. The outcome as of today: Israel releases soldier after rape allegations at said Taiman Detention Center. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. I'll call it ST Detention Center. One of the nine Israeli soldiers arrested for abusing Palestinian detainees in the notorious ST Detention Facility has been released without charge, Haaretz has reported. Deliberations about the other eight are continuing. The nine men were detained for their role in the alleged abuse, including rape, of Palestinian detainees held at the facility, which has been compared to Guantanamo Bay and Abu Ghraib prison. At least 13 prisoners are said to have died in recent months from abuse in Israeli prisons. That figure could be much higher, with Haaretz reporting that the number of Palestinians who died because of Israeli torture and abuse could be as high as 27 since the 7th of October. Allegations of abuse by Israeli soldiers against Palestinian detainees were reported in May. An anonymous Israeli whistleblower who worked at the facility in the Negev Desert reported gruesome details of abuse, torture, and mistreatment of Palestinians. In June, a shocking three-month investigation by the New York Times uncovered harrowing details of the conditions endured by the roughly 4,000 Palestinian detainees. Horrific accounts of rape were covered by the NYT investigation. Although Israel denied the sexual abuse was taking place, a lawyer who visited the site 3 weeks later not only corroborated the New York Times report uncovering rape, but also went on to state that the treatment of Palestinians by Israeli soldiers is more horrifying than Abu Ghraib or Guantanamo. The details are horrific. I don't even want to get into them here. But some of the abuse, some of the sexual abuse, has led to things like they've literally abused people so bad they're paralyzed. Most of the people kept in these prisons have not been given trial, are not given basic human rights that are afforded to the accused in Western countries. And the strangest part about this, let me just lay it down like this. These claims of abuse, where they're claiming that these military, these guards are systematically raping prisoners and using sexual and physical abuse as a punishment or interrogation technique of these people who have never been officially charged or convicted of a crime. They deny it, but it's basically so egregious and so blatant that the authorities sort of have to do something about it, which in and of itself should tell you how severe this stuff was, because there has been horrific torture of Palestinians regularly for years in these prisons. And it usually is either brushed under the rug or given open, you know, affirmation. And you know, they're told it's good. This is fine. This is all, you know, part of war, right? All's fair in love and war. And these prisoners, despite never been proven to be guilty of the crimes for which they've been convicted without trial, they deserve this, I guess. But finally, it gets so bad. Like, whatever this situation was so egregious and so bad that they actually had to step in and go, okay, we better arrest these guys for the sake of justice. And in response to this, massive riots have broken out, and gigantic mobs of Israelis have attempted to storm and have, in some cases, successfully stormed military bases in an attempt to free the guards who have been arrested for raping prisoners to death. Now, it's not actually up for debate whether this abuse happened. This is the strange part that you need to understand. It's acknowledged that this abuse happened. It's documented that this abuse happened. That's not up for debate. Debate is whether the abuse is okay and good or not. So you've got mobs of right-wingers basically furious, fighting with their own government, saying that these guys shouldn't be punished, this should be allowed. The rape was good, I guess. Yeah, that might sound crazy, but that is actually the case. CBS News reports, Israeli lawmaker defends alleged rape of Hamas prisoners as far-right protesters rage over IDF troops' detention. It's like, this is so foreign to us. I feel the need to, like, really be clear and explain that this is what's happening, because I can't imagine this happening ever in America. I mean, this is so far, but I mean, this is like, I don't know. I mean, this is like white Americans storming the jail to try to free Derek Chauvin. But even more so, but if instead of just, you know, kneeling on the guy's back while he overdosed on fentanyl, if he raped George Floyd to death, and then we were like, but that's a good thing, but actually we're on his side. It's crazy. It is crazy. But this is the case, and these riots are big and very well attended. But just to illustrate what we're saying here, there's a video I just put in. Here, Israeli lawmakers are debating whether it's okay or not that these prisoners were severely sexually abused by the IDF. Let's go to that video now. He says, I don't know, but there's an incident right now in said Timon where military police came to arrest soldiers who were guarding the Nukba terrorist. So Timon, the Nukba terrorist detention center, the military police came there to arrest some of the soldiers there, probably because some allegations regarding the treatment of Nukba terrorists. There's an incident of soldiers refusing to leave. The insanity that our country is having around the story is crazy. We need to stop it. We need to stop the insanity, he says. I think we need to give a personal example here and say, and I say now, I call on other coalition members to do the same. I'm getting up and I'm leaving here, and I'm not going to vote on anything anymore until this story and this insanity that there is someone in the prosecutor's office who thinks that it is possible to come and arrest soldiers for things they're doing to Nukba terrorists is not over. And I really am asking, and I think my coalition friends will do well if they do the same as I do. We cannot continue as usual. Someone says, to insert a stick in a person's rectum, is that legitimate? So shut up, yes, if he's Nukba, everything is legitimate to do, everything. That's what I wanted to know. Did you know what these people did? He says, there are things you don't do. So I was saying, this is really lawmaker guys like, I'm not going to participate this until this prosecutor drops this charge. This is ridiculous. It's too insane. This reaction is too insane. I'm stepping away until this crazy prosecutor that thinks he can charge soldiers for raping their prisoners to death. He's got to drop this charge. He's got to, you know, it's too crazy. It's too insane. Can't be charging these guys. He's not saying it didn't happen. He's not saying this is unfair. This is a witch hunt. This is not something that he's saying. Yes, they use rape as an abuse and interrogation tactic. And how dare you try to stop that? So, yes, there you go. The soldiers suspected of the abuse have been held for questioning, which is rare in Israel during an ongoing conflict, and has drawn a furious reaction from far-right Israelis, including some senior government officials. On Monday evening, a group of Israelis attempted to storm another military facility, with one protester threatening an uprising against the government if the suspects remain in custody. If you dare punish the guards raping the prisoners, we're going to overthrow the government. The 9 Israeli soldiers suspected of the abuse were to appear in the military court today. Israelis have been rattled by the events, which have highlighted the deep political divisions in the country. A member of the Likud party, speaking Monday at a meeting of lawmakers, justified the rape and abuse of Palestinian prisoners, shouting angrily at their colleagues questioning the alleged behavior, saying that anything was legitimate to do to terrorists in custody. That's the video that we just saw. Ben-Gavir, national security minister, wrote in a post on social media, take your hands off the reservists. Take your hands off of them. Again, can you imagine a world in which, like, the images of Abu Ghraib or Guantanamo come out and you see, you know, the sexual abuse, the men, you know, tied up and attached to car batteries? And the response from the American people is to be furious that anybody's questioning these honorable soldiers. And this isn't the Israeli leadership. This is right-wing mobs. And again, there are like tons of them. Clip 15 is the riot, which was posted on X with they're rioting for the right to rape Palestinian prisoners. Go down to clip 15, just see how intense this is. They're attempting to break into this military base. Bordering on anarchy, IFD chief sounds alarm after right-wing mob overruns second base. Removed from the ST facility, activists storm Beit Lid base, where soldiers suspected of abusing Gazans are held. Ministers and coalition MKs fuel and join hours of protest. So you've got the officials and the lawmakers and the far-right activists breaking into a military base where soldiers are detained on suspicion of abusing a Palestinian terror suspect were being held for questioning hours after a separate IDF facility was stormed by a right-wing mob fuming over the arrests. It's just completely insane. Our greatest allies, folks. I tell you, I don't understand. I don't understand the mindset. I cannot comprehend what would drive people to protest this. Very sick. Very, very sick stuff. Now, elsewhere, the IDF nervously awaits a response from Hezbollah. What happened out yesterday, Israel carried a rare strike on Beirut that it says killed Hezbollah commander. Now, Hezbollah, as far as I know, has not confirmed this. In fact, they said it was an unsuccessful assassination attempt. This is in response, of course, to the rocket attack on the Israel-occupied Golan Heights over the weekend. Israel on Tuesday carried out a strike on Beirut, which it said killed a top Hezbollah commander who was allegedly behind a weekend rocket attack that killed 12 young people in the Israeli-controlled Golan Heights. The strike in the Lebanese capital killed at least one woman and two children and wounded dozens of people. And there's a bit of a dichotomy here where both sides are really frantically, desperately claiming that they don't want things to expand. And yet, with the rules of engagement and the tit-for-tat mode of operations there, they sort of have to respond to save face and to maintain the status quo. The Israeli people are not particularly motivated by the attack over the weekend. The people that were hit were Druze, D-R-U-Z-E or D-R-U-S-E, who are a Muslim sort of autonomous faction that's right now under military occupation, but are not Israeli citizens. The attack, while constantly being characterized as if it was a deliberate attack, right? So they kill this commander and they say, this commander was the mastermind behind this attack on the children. And it's like, what would be the strategic, you know, it's like Assad dropping chemical weapons on his own people. It's like, what is the strategic value of this? Why would Hezbollah attack a bunch of kids that are Muslims, a bunch of Muslims in occupied Israel territory? Like, that makes sense. Clearly, it was an accident. Whether it was an Iron Dome missile or whether it was a Hezbollah missile, clearly there was no intention to kill these kids because the only outcome would be a ratcheting up of a conflict that Israel can't handle and that Hezbollah doesn't seem desirous of either. We've been reporting for months that Israel has been moving operations to the north, that they're winding down their operations in Gaza and seem to be gearing up for all-out war with Lebanon. And yet, with the riots taking place that we just described and a number of other domestic issues in Israel, as well as a essentially total failure in Gaza to achieve their goals of eliminating Hamas, they are not exactly excited for war with Hezbollah. The Israeli people don't seem very excited. Even the Israeli leadership doesn't seem really all that gung-ho about going into Lebanon. That being said, they did bomb southern Beirut, which is a change of the equation. And essentially, it's always a tit-for-tat. There's always a you do it to us, we do it to you, back and forth. So, like a one-for-one. If they shoot a building in our capital, where we got to shoot a building in their capital. And so that's what everybody's really worried about, because if Hezbollah launches a missile and takes out an apartment complex in Tel Aviv, well, it's going to spiral out of control very quickly. Lloyd Austin, the defense minister in America, has said that America is ready to defend Israel if Hezbollah attacks. There are more and more Navy ships from America steaming towards the Lebanese coast. And it seems like this may be the event that does tip the conflict over into a much more intense, wider conflict. Yeah, as well as still not verified that this guy was hit, this Hezbollah commander that they targeted in southern Beirut. But it seems to me like it depends on who you ask. Either, you know, you ask one person and they say Israel doesn't want to expand this. Israel just wants to, you know, get their land back. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of people displaced from the north right now that are desperate to get back in Israel. Their economy is suffering hugely from this. They don't really want more conflict with Hezbollah. There's not a lot they can do. A ground invasion is basically out of question because of the mountainous terrain of Lebanon, because of how dug in Hezbollah is. Actually, yesterday in our live stream, which if you want to know more about this, I suggest you go listen to, I thought my friend John put it really well. You know, the term they use, that Israel uses when it does sort of periodic bombing campaigns in places like Gaza or Lebanon, The phrase they use is trimming the grass, cutting the grass, mowing the lawn. Right? That these terrorists kind of grow and grow and grow, and then you bomb them and, you know, kill a bunch of them, and they go back down, and then they start to raise again, and then you bomb them again. Well, the grass hasn't been mowed in Lebanon since 2006. When Israel attempted to invade, the invasion lasted 33 days, and they were expelled from the country. So at this point, it's jungle. It's overgrown. The lawn is too thick for the mower to make it through, perhaps. And that's the situation that Israel's in. They mowed the lawn, quote unquote, which they did about every decade up until about 2006. But since then, the lawn has been allowed to grow, and Hezbollah has armed itself, and it's dug entire cities underground, and it has more weapons and better weapons than they've ever had before. They're in a tight spot. So you talk to some people, and it's like, well, you know, Israel is there rattling the saber and saying, next is Lebanon, and you better be careful. We're moving things to the north because we're going to invade. And you hear another person from Israel saying, nobody in Israel wants conflict with Hezbollah. You hear people from Lebanon, and they're saying, we don't want conflict. And the other side saying, yeah, we're going to invade it, Israel. And then in America, you've got Lloyd Austin saying, if Hezbollah attacks Israel, America will get involved, and we will defend Israel. And then you have this story, don't bomb Beirut. U.S. leads push to rein in Israel's response. It's, I don't know. I mean, I guess we can just ignore what they say and just look at what they're doing. Maybe that is the way to get to the truth. But it's like, listening to the media, everything is true about both sides. Both sides want war. Both sides are trying to rein war in. The U.S. is both reining Israel in and empowering it as much as possible. It seems like this might be Joe Biden. You know, one thing about Joe Biden dropping out of the race is he no longer has to pander to the left wing of his party that is very pro-Palestine. He can now sort of more openly and aggressively support Israel, since that's not going to damage Kamala Harris's prospects very much. He's sort of a lame dunk president, which means he's sort of, you know, uncontained now. He's unleashed. He doesn't have to take in the domestic political concerns when it comes to whether to support Israel or not. I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, him giving money to Iran, and Trump is out there going, Biden's like a Palestinian now. Well, Biden for decades has called himself a Zionist. He clearly is. I mean, it could be that this is the wedge, the chink in the armor, the method by which they're going to try to start World War III, and that, you know, perhaps they're trying to get something kicked off before the election in order to cancel the election. Perhaps we'll see some false flag attacks. Perhaps American ships will start firing on Lebanon and may get hit with a Hezbollah missile. As we explained yesterday, the Navy now is parked off of the coast of Lebanon, just out of range of the missiles that Hezbollah used in 2006. They have new missiles now, though. So what if one of their new missiles has a longer range and is better equipped and can hit our naval vessels? Will America be dragged into this war when hundreds of our sailors are killed in an instant by a giant explosion? What is the spark that will set off this fire?
Hi, this is Jeff with DMO Knives, and we are super excited to partner with Alex Jones for this style breacher knife from DMO. For a limited time, our tactical breacher through our Alex Jones partnership will be designed like this. We have our black over OD Cerakote, OD G10 composite handles with the following logos upon them. Betsy Ross flag over here with Alex Jones signature here. And then you flip that over and we've got Donald Trump. Fight, fight, fight. We've had these things crammed in a Humvee, prying open a door in Syria. We've shot them at the range. They have survived. They have a lifetime guarantee. So if you ever break one, we'll replace it for you to help develop the toughness and sturdy and durable and usability, along with the beauty. There's four different heat stages that we put this thing through to come up with a dual level of hardness for usability and sturdiness. It's built to never fail the operator. Made in America, by Americans, for Americans. How much stronger can you get than the DMO quarter-inch thick steel breacher? Patriotic, strong, just like America. Again, we are super excited to team up with Alex Jones with DMO Knives for this product, which is our patriotic tactical breacher. You can't get more patriotic than this. We can't wait to get them in your hands.
In the last 6 months, as InfoWars has been fighting for its very existence, we've had a lot of great organizations and groups reach out wanting to support us. Well, I got to tell you, Dead Moose Ops is one of the best. They put out some of the most amazing collectible limited edition knives and other amazing collectibles with folks like the Hodge Twins and so many others. These guys are bringing great products to the American people, and they're keeping some of the most important talk show hosts on the air as we win the fight against the globalists. So we've decided to come out with 500 of their best-selling limited edition knife engraved specifically for InfoWars. It's amazing. So here it is with the American flag, the original 13, Alex Jones, and it is such a storied knife. It's a special operations style knife. It's of the highest quality steel made right here in America in Arkansas. This knife cost over $115 to just produce because it's of the highest quality materials at the highest standards. And there's only 500 of these limited inscription knives with the original 13 colonies flag, commissioned by George Washington, and laser inscribed with my signature, Alex Jones. This is a very important fundraiser. You know, on NPR and on PBS, you know, they get hundreds of millions of dollars of tax money every year. They will sell a coffee mug for $100, though it costs $5. And you know you're getting memento to know you supported communism and evil and the New World Order. Well, this is a knife that cost over $115 because it's such high quality. And when you get the knife and you pay the extra money to fund the operation, you are changing the world. So if you want a limited edition knife that is simply amazing, read all about it right now at DMOKnives.com. It is DMOKnives.com. This is a true piece of Americana, and it funds the operation. There's only 500 of this knife available. So please be part of this fundraiser and have this piece of history. Go to DMO, that's Dead Moose Operatives, but just DMO, the letters DMO, knives.com, it's on screen, and you get an additional $25 off when you use promo code Alex.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. We're getting to the Olympics, or not the Olympics, the other satanic dog and pony show, politics. We'll get into politics here. Kamala Harris held a rally in Atlanta yesterday. The left wing was thrilled to have a room full of people, something they haven't seen since Obama was running. I mean, y'all remember President Biden giving a speech to a parking lot full of empty cars? You guys remember that? Remember how weird that was? Well, that all was to save face for Biden. Well, out of abundance of safety, we don't want to have a big rally during COVID. I mean, sure, you can go riot in the streets and burn buildings down. That's fine. But, you know, we better just not have any political events. Well, apparently Kamala is taking a page out of the playbook of Hillary Clinton, but maybe didn't read to the end of the page. See, one tactic that the leftists utilize to fill out their rallies is to bring in really popular performance artists to give a concert. So people show up for the free concert to watch the jiggling idiots twerk on the grave of America. They haven't realized yet that you do the speech before the musical event. See, everybody's there, not because they love Kamala Harris, but because it was a free concert for Megan Thee Stallion. So you want to save Megan Thee Stallion until after Kamala Harris, so the crowd is still there when Kamala Harris talks. They keep forgetting this. And remember, this happened quite a few times in 2016. It would be this huge crowd for Hillary Clinton because Usher was performing, or I don't know, one of these rapper slash gay abuse cult victims performs, and they would always do the performance before the speech, and then everybody would clear out by the time the speech happened. But it doesn't matter. They get the images that they want. Savannah Hernandez was there, posted this video. Shortly after Kamala began her speech, attendees of her rally began to leave. Clip number 12. We can watch that now. And you can see groups of people leaving. Now, Kamala Harris only spoke for about 30 minutes. That's what Savannah was saying on Twitter. It was basically, I couldn't believe that people couldn't just sit for 20 or 30 minutes. That basically, as soon as the concert portion was over, tons of people started getting up and leaving, just streams of people exiting the venue. We can go to clip number two here. As we keep being reminded, decency is on the ballot. Decency is on the ballot these days. There it is. This is the decency they're promoting. This is, vote for DC. I mean, honestly, Kamala Harris is ushering in a new form of idiocracy, basically. Where it's not about policy and it's not about giving good speeches.
It's about giving a good BJ.
Yeah. I mean... I'm sure people have noticed, as soon as Kamala became the nominee, as soon as the coup took place, literally, literally, it's idiocracy.
Hold on, Harrison, we're making art.
I'm just going to let the crew handle this.
Go Kamala. Kamala.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone is, right? They pretended that Kamala Harris was super popular, and they, you know, all these videos that were like, this is going viral on TikTok. And there's all these videos of Kamala, and they're like, this just got a million views on TikTok. People love Kamala Harris.
Do and they?
Well, not really, no. But regardless, she's not saying anything in the videos. She's just dancing.
She doesn't need to say anything in the videos.
No, there's no, that's the thing. There's no policy. There's no discussion. I mean, say what you will about, you know, the Trump meme machine, but it was always like policy, right? You'd have some funny edit of Trump loading up illegal immigrants in a trebuchet to launch them over the border wall. It at least had something to do with policy and their ability to speak, and it would be clips of Trump saying things that were funny or badass. Instead, you've got like an entire presidential campaign media strategy now, which is completely devoid of substance.
Actually, if this is politics nowadays, consider me a policy wonk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm a policy wonk. I prefer.
I'm sorry. I don't have time for discourse. I've got to go catch up with Kamala's campaign.
That's the thing. Like, imagine the time machine. Somebody wakes up from a coma or something, and they're like, "Oh, the presidential election's on. Who are the candidates? Like, show me some media to say who I should vote for." On one hand, it's Donald Trump getting shot in the face and standing up and saying fight, 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 and talking about illegal immigration and the failure of the Biden economy and, you know, all of this stuff. I mean, just like, imagine you have no context. You're just like, you wake up and you're like, oh, an American election's going on. Show me the most popular media showing the Democratic nominee. And it's just Kamala Harris like, it's like, okay, what? No, she's just dancing. This is supposed to be a presidential campaign. What is her policy? What are her stances? How does she carry herself? What is she going to do for the country? And it's just her like, no, no, but she can dance. No, but don't you see how good at dancing she is? I mean, this is a presidential campaign. And again, we're in this position where it's like, okay, so they're afraid Trump is going to become a dictator because he's going to throw his opponents in prison, despite the fact that that is literally happening right now and has been for the last 4 years. Systematically, the Biden regime has been rounding up political dissidents, shutting down dissident media outlets, arresting their political opponent, charging him with 34 felonies over a mislabeled check. I mean, the irony, the hypocrisy is palpable. And you have all these never Trumpers who would say things like there's no substance, despite the fact that what Trump was laying out was novel and powerful and impactful new policy for the United States. Like, people didn't really talk that much about immigration. I mean, it was a topic. It was always a topic. It was always like this sort of simmering thing that would get brought up every once in a while. But it wasn't ever treated like a crisis. It wasn't ever treated like a major central theme of a political campaign until Trump came in. Like, it wasn't his, it wasn't the spectacle that made him a good candidate. The spectacle maybe introduced people to what he was saying. Because I went through this, right? Where I didn't like Trump in the beginning until I started listening to him. So I started realizing, oh, there is substance here. This isn't just spectacle. This isn't just noise. This isn't just pablum or whatever the word is, right? Where it's just, you know, something fun, you know, shiny for people to look at. You actually listen, you're like, oh, man, he's making some really good points about illegal immigration here. I never thought of it that way. He's right. If we don't have a border, we don't have a country. Why hasn't that point ever been made? So he's actually changing the discussion. His policies actually altered the trajectory of American politics. The same people that complained about him having no substance, complained about him not being a serious candidate, are just like, Kamala, yes, look at her dance. Look at her dance. She's a black woman. Look at the black woman dance. Vote for her. Really? This is your tactic. We're deciding a presidential campaign with dances.
Take a look at what happened.
On July 13th, 2024, the deep state took a shot not just at Donald Trump, but at America and our republic. But by the grace of God, God's hand was on Donald Trump, and by just millimeters, he survived. Ladies and gentlemen, the deep state, Google, all the big tech companies other than X have been trying to suppress this image. They've been trying to suppress everything about the assassination. But it is so important that we support President Trump and we support the InfoWar that defends and support Trump by getting this iconic shirt. It takes that incredible fight, fight, fight image and it says never surrender. Under it and on the back, it says the answer to 1984 is 1776 with my signature. Now, this is brought to you by one of the top Patriot apparel makers in America, and they partnered with us and they print the shirts and everything right there in Arkansas. So these are ready to ship right now.
We love you!
Yes! 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 President Trump had 8 shots fired at him, killing one man, critically wounding 2 others, and grazing his ear. He immediately popped back up and said, fight, 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 which translates to never surrender, never back down, never give up. but it takes the exercise of free speech and the financial support in a fight to save our republic. And InfoWars is recognized as the tip of the spear. And right now, we are in a funding crisis and need your support. So I have a 360 win. Get this amazing Never Surrender Trump Fight, Fight, Fight shirt with the answer to 1984, 1776, and my signature on the back, a historic memento, and wear it proudly in public, and you'll probably get, it's what I've experienced, 95% love. You may have some leftists try to physically attack you as well, but it's an adventure to wear this shirt. I've been wearing it out in public, and it's been amazing, and you really see the grassroots support that President Trump has around the country, not just in red cities, red towns, and red states. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a critical juncture for the republic, and now is the time to wear our colors loud and proud. The red, white, and blue, with President Trump raising his fist defiantly to the New World Order. Go to holdtheline.com and use promo code Alex and you get additional 10% off. By wearing this shirt in public, you raise your fist in defiance with President Trump and myself and many others, the globalist tyranny, and say, we will never surrender to the New World Order. And the answer to your tyranny is 1776. We will never surrender. We will fight, fight, fight. Because the answer to 1984 is 1776.
My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere from all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents. Radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Back, folks. It really is something else. And, you know, it wasn't Donald Trump that made everything bad. In fact, oh man, there's a post that put it really well. But it's obvious. I mean, it's something that we've talked about endlessly. I mean, since 2016, excuse me, you know, nothing bad actually happened because Donald Trump was president. He didn't start any wars. He didn't tyrannize anybody. If anything, he was too lenient on the Black Lives Matter rioters. He didn't do enough in many ways to secure the United States during his time in office. Of course, a lot of that was because they launched COVID against him. But what actually happened was the media went insane and made everybody angry and sad and scared. And then when Joe Biden stole the election and got back into office, the media stopped making everybody scared. And that's really what's at work here, is the average American person has their attitude, mindset, and worldview and personal happiness dependent on the mainstream media. Their own attitude, day by day, is dictated to them. And they will literally, like, have to go to therapy because they're so angry and anxious all the time over stuff that literally doesn't exist, like the Russian collusion narrative. Do you know what I'm saying? That there was no Russian collusion narrative. Donald Trump didn't bring us to World War III. Donald Trump didn't bring back slavery. All this was total nonsense. Nothing like that happened. If these people didn't watch TV and weren't programmed to think this way, if they were Amish, if they just lived in the woods, if they didn't have social media, nothing in their life got worse. If anything, it got better. If anything, their wages probably went up. Their savings probably did better. But it's this alchemy that the media is able to pull off, where they inject into people, you have to be sad, you have to be anxious, you have to be angry, because Trump's around. Trump didn't do anything. And like, I can't even think of another example where something like this takes place. I mean, I guess it happens sort of in personal relationships. Sometimes I'm just trying to think of, like, I don't know, a family where, like, the mom hates the mother-in-law. And so when the mother-in-law comes and visits, the mom is in a bad mood all the time and is angry and is vicious to the children and is short-tempered and everything's terrible. And the mother-in-law is nice and fine. She didn't actually do anything wrong. She's not mean. She's not the one. But it's like the kids like hate when the mother-in-law comes to visit, and they're like, they blame her because the mother is the one who gets anxious and angry and makes their lives miserable, right? It's not the fault of Trump that the media goes insane, that he exists and makes everybody in America anxious and angry and sad and uncertain. So it's this weird, like, hostage situation that the American people are in, where it's the media going, we are going to make your lives miserable if you vote for Trump. Trump's not going to do anything, but we are going to freak out constantly. And I think some of us have maybe, like, blocked it out, like, as a trauma response, have just forgotten what the Trump years were like. Google News has a function where you can go back in time to any date and find headlines. Just go to any day during the Trump administration. Any day, I guarantee you there were bright red capital letter headlines from CNN: crisis, scandal, controversy. None of it existed. It was all fabricated. It was all non-existent. It was all imaginary. It was all boogeyman. I mean, you might as well have had daily headlines: Bigfoot terrorizing town. It's like, no, this doesn't exist. None of this exists. I know a perfect example, because I wanted to know what was happening in October of 2019 while Event 201 was being held in New York City. Because you think about the narrative of how we got here and all the various things going on. You know, at the time, nobody was reporting on Event 201. We didn't know what was happening. Now, as we look back, we can go, okay, so while Trump was fighting for his political life, and it, so what day was Event 201? It was like October 20th, 2023, right? So, or 2019, something like that, right? If the crew can go in the Wayback Machine or just go to Google News, search Trump, and then set the parameters for October 2019. And every headline is like, new shocking whistleblowing allegations. Nancy Pelosi says the impeachment cannot wait. We cannot wait for more evidence. It must happen now. I mean, everything was frantic. Everything was, dude, this has to happen now. The walls are closing in. If we don't do this right now, everything's going down. More bombshell breaking news. And it's just like, whatever came of any of that? Nothing. It was all lies. It was all nonsense. It was all lies. But that's what everybody was focused on. Well, Trump has record-breaking economy, while Trump is destroying ISIS and winding down wars overseas, while he's trying to focus on the business of the state, he is under constant and continual and brutal attack, trying to stop him, effectively hamstringing him. Meanwhile, there's like a little conclave going on in New York City where they're plotting to release a bioweapon and getting the vaccine manufacturing geared up to unleash the death jab. And that's what people fear. That literally, they're just like, we can't have Trump again because it's too stressful for them. It's too stressful, not because Trump did anything, not because he actually was conspiring with Russia to undercut Ukraine because he hates democracy, but because that's what the media said, and it made them very scared and angry. Very scared, very angry. Do we have time to go to the, because, yeah, let's go to clip 11 here. On the topic of Kamala Harris, just the worst in every possible way. Here is authority on the subject, Judge Joe Brown. Let's watch.
But I got to ask you about Kamala Harris. How you feel about her?
She's a piece of shit. I was in California. She lacked professional competence, and she worked on it by hiking up her hemline when she needed influence rather than researching. She's always tried to do the casting couch to get where she wants. Now, the problem is that'll get somebody to a certain level quickly. But you can't get past that level if you don't have competence and talent. So my thing about it is if I'm crude about it, in this years ago, I used to represent a whole bunch of pimps and hoes, and I know a hoe when I see one. And I say this, I don't care, women, you do what you want to do if you want to have recreational sex, but when you do the casting couch or anything else for professional purposes to get paid or advance, you a hoe. And she's old hoe. And the problem is what is she supposed to do? Somebody, one of her sycophant slaves comes up and unwraps her in a carpet naked at Putin's feet, and he says, oh, yeah, I'm Julius Caesar. He said, no, ho, I got better stuff here already. Plus, I don't want you anyway. You old woman. Get on up, you know. Or Xi Jinping, is he supposed to be impressed? She's doing word salad. Well, we're here today because China and the U.S. are here today, and that's why we have to agree on what we're doing here today. Like, fool, what did you just say? You know, did you say anything?
And, you know, I see people online saying that somehow, like, anti-woman to talk about this. This is not up for debate. This is not a smear. This is not a sexist claim. Willie Brown has given interviews where he's like, yeah, I gave Kamala Harris her start because I was dating her. He's like, yeah, I gave her that position that started her career because she was my side piece, basically. This is not speculation. This is historical fact. You want that to be your first woman president? A literal political whore?
A lot of people have been asking me how they support InfoWars in this critical fight. And it's simple. Support our sponsors. And we brought you something really special that's a limited edition. It is a campaign coin. You've seen campaign coins from different wars, Vietnam, World War II, you name it. Some wars were just, some wars were bad. But still, we've supported the troops and their memento of the campaign they've been through. Well, we're working with one of the top companies in America that is supporting so many great conservative talk show hosts like the Hodge Twins and so many others who come up with so many of these beautiful coins. And this one is the Hold the Line coin. It is a limited edition. And this campaign coin is only $30. We get an additional 10% off with promo code Alex at holdtheline.com. Holdtheline.com. It's got the Liberty Bell. It says fight for freedom with other inscriptions on the reverse side. It's got key quotes from the Bill of Rights, from true Americana history. This is a piece of history that funds the InfoWar. So this is a limited edition for InfoWars. If you want to support the broadcast, get the Hold the Line coin right now at holdtheline.com. This is how you show the globalists that you're a patriot and you stood up for America and you help hold the line, the most critical point in the InfoWar. Go to holdtheline.com and get 10% off with the promo code Alex. It's an amazing limited edition coin. I'm firing the bat signal like Colonel Travis the Alamo. Victory or death, We need your support. It's a piece of history. You get a big discount with promo code Alex. Now go to holdtheline.com right now and get the coin, holdtheline.com. Want to keep us on air? Get a piece of history? Take action now. Holdtheline.com.